May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 244, 244. Our Jesus is the God of hope. He works it by his power. It holds the weak believer up in the distressing hour. Hymn 244.
To read from his holy word the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, part of chapter 2. Nehemiah, chapter 1, and part of chapter 2. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandedst thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, the wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was sore, very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live for ever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favour in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. The king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. O Lord God Almighty, that great and terrible God of whom Nehemiah spoke, unto whom he did speak, and of whom he did obtain that merciful answer. O Lord, we would be now found led of thy Spirit, that we be truly approaching thee, that one true and living God. And we are met together, Lord, once more through thy mercy, professedly for the worship of this one true and living God. And we do pray them for thy Holy Spirit, for they that worship thee must worship thee in spirit and in truth. And thou didst say, Lord Jesus, thy Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, may we be sought out even this evening. The Lord, do draw us by thy irresistible power. For none come to thy dear Son, except thou, Heavenly Father, draw them. Oh, we do pray to know then, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost this night, as our triune God. Lord, we plead thy mercy. Oh, we have need to confess, to enable us to do it from our heart, not merely with our lips. We have sinned. We have not kept thy commandments. Lord, commission and omission. Lord, we plead thy merciful pardon. The sense of it, by the gift of living faith in thy dear Son, a sense of blood-bought pardon, as the hymn writer put it, there is no other pardon. Oh, we pray for a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst make sin a reality to each one of us. Not merely something we hear about and read about, but Lord, that feeling, oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Oh, the rocks could feel thy powerful death, and tremble and asunder break. Oh, rend, Lord Jesus, with thy expiring breath, the harder marble of my heart. Lord, that we may truly be broken-hearted over our sin. Make our hearts like wax. Lord, the preparation of the heart, we read in thy word, is of the Lord, and the answer of the tongue. Lord, we pray, do prepare our hearts to receive the word. 'Tis the guilty sinner that is prepared to receive the word of pardon. The lost sinner prepared to receive the word of salvation. Lord, the needy sinner prepared to receive the truth that thou hast been pleased, it pleased thee that in thy Son should all fullness dwell. Make us poor enough tonight for the gospel. And may the poor have the gospel preached to them. with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Oh, be our sufficiency in speaking and hearing. Bless the hymns that we sing. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst glorify thy name. Oh, thou art God. Give us each that faith to believe it and to come to thee, believing thou art the rewarder of those that diligently seek thee. Oh, do show thyself, Lord, in the person of thy dear Son. Lord, are there those here tonight and they feel black and everything seems dark around them? It is. But Lord, oh, thou that commandest the light to shine out of darkness, thou hast said thou make darkness light before them. Lord, command the light of the glorious gospel, the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to shine into our hearts. Lord, with that gracious, blessed gospel, with that glorious person of thy dear Son, do shine away our sin. Shine away, Lord, the unbelief, the worldliness, the carnality, the idolatry. Lord, shine away self. Oh, may we lose self in the winning of Christ. To lose myself in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst glorify thy name in the earth. We plead for this church and congregation. The glory of the Lord may be revealed unto them. They may see it. Lord, that the glory of the Lord may fill this place. Lord, that thou wouldst be the blessed head of this church and people. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give them thy spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with their spirit. Lord, are there those who have come in here this evening, even dead in trespasses and sins? Lord, thou knowest. Thou art the searcher of hearts. Oh, we pray for the quickening of thine elect. Lord, are there those come in here careless about sin? Sin is a theory to them. Something they've heard about. Something they've had preached to them, but they never felt it. May they feel it tonight. And are those, Lord, guilty? Guilty, guilty. Lost, ruined, perishing. Oh, may they hear of Jesus with the hearing of faith. May we each be blessed with the living faith in him, the reality. And know thy precious blood applied, and thy righteousness imputed, and thee, Lord, made by God unto us, sanctification too, and thy love shed abroad. Let the love of Christ enlarge the heart, move the feet in Zion's ways, following thee. Set the captives free, Lord, we pray. Do good in thy good pleasure to Zion and build her walls. Remember in mercy afflicted ones. Graciously be with them, and if it will please thee, heal them. Grant them patience, waiting thy appointed time, and if the affliction must remain, oh, we pray thou wouldst richly sanctifying it, sanctify it in making thy grace all sufficient. Direct those who know not what to do. Comfort those who mourn, whatever it is they mourn, Lord. Oh, we pray, do comfort them. And now it's those that have a mourning heart that only thou canst comfort. Mourning over sin, mourning over thy absence, mourning over thy silence, mourning like the dove, as Hezekiah did. But Lord, thou didst turn his mournful song into a song of praise. Lord, we pray for this. Grant us truly thankful hearts for thy mercies, all of them from the very least, are completely undeserved. Every sip of water, every breath we draw, every crumb of food, and Lord, thou dost bless us in abundance. We thank thee for thy kind providence. But Lord, more we thank thee for thy unspeakable gift, thy dear Son, for that throne of grace on which he sits, that we are seeking now to approach to. Lord, help us each to remember, if thou hadst not made a throne of grace and thy dear Son to sit upon it, no one could pray to thee. There will be no hope, Lord. Oh, we pray, do encourage thy people then. Be that God of hope we've sung of to them tonight. Those who perhaps feel they have no hope, give them one. Those whose hope languishes, strengthen it. Those who, like Jeremiah, say, my hope is perish in the Lord. Lord, but thou didst revive that hope. Oh, revive every grace in us, we pray. How often it languishes so that we really wonder whether we have any grace at all. Oh, but it's all in thee. A sinner with none may come to thee, and he shall not come in vain. But thy grace is exceeding abundant. We thank thee where it has been so to us. Lord, still, grace must be our theme. Lord, for we've no works to plead, but we would plead grace, because it is free, because it is all sufficient, because by grace sinners are saved, are maintained and kept, and grace all the work shall crown. He lays in heaven the top stone, topmost stone, and well deserves the praise. Bless the deacons, help them in their office. Behold the mystery of the faith, the clear conscience. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give us each that conscience void of offence toward God and toward men. The conscience sprinkled with thy precious blood. Lord, oh, we pray that thou wouldst order us in the churches, the officers of churches, pastors and deacons, and the church members, Lord, give wisdom in all the matters. Give us grace to stand fast in the Lord. Oh, do save us from the fear of man, which bringeth a snare. Save us, Lord, from seeking the applause of men, the approval of men. Thy servant Paul said, if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Lord, we do pray. Raise up true, able ministers of the New Testament and help those whom thou hast raised up. Lord, the bearers of burdens is decayed. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish. Oh Lord, strengthen thy servants. Help them to go again. Lord, help them in going again. To preach the word with such power, the power of the Holy Ghost, that the rubbish will be cleared away. Oh, we pray, purge us from all the rubbish that's within us as well as about us. Oh, we pray that the Lord himself may be solely our salvation. Save us from everything which is not Christ, for that is rubbish. Lord, help us to cleave to thee. Help us to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths and walk therein that thou hast promised, and ye shall find rest therein. Appear, Lord, in all the temporal concerns of the deacons and the church, and each of us in our own private circles. Manage everything for us. Let thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Lord, help us in all our ways to acknowledge thee and find thee directing our paths. Close wrong doors, open right ones. Thy will is best. Bend our wills to thine. Have mercy on Britain. In wrath thou dost yet remember mercy. We thank thee for it. But oh, restrain the evil, we pray. We thank thee where there is the least glimmer of light in this dark country, the least glimmer of an opposition to that which is evil, and a seeking of that which is right. But Lord, it seems to be such a little glimmer. But oh, help us to plead with thee. Thou wouldst arise upon Britain with healing in thy wings, and upon us each individually and upon the churches. Pour out thy spirit, that the wilderness may become a fruitful field, the fruitful field be counted for a forest, and the effect of righteousness be peace and quietness and assurance. Lord, we pray for the assurance of faith, the assurance of hope, the assurance, Lord, that thou art ours, the assurance that our sins are forgiven, the assurance that thy blood was shed from us, the assurance, yes, I shall soon be landed on yonder shores of bliss, there with my powers expanded, dwell where Jesus is. Set our affections, Lord, even this night on heaven, not on things on the earth. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 941, 941. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope my heaven, my all in thee. Hymn 941.
Thank you.
in dependence on the Lord. I venture to direct you this evening to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, reading verse 4. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Every man of God is a man of prayer. Nehemiah was an eminent man of God. By the Spirit's gracious help, how he prevailed with God in prayer. And you know, this is the secret. The prosperity of any personal man, any family, any church of God, praying men and praying women. It is a gift of God. Oh, we can say prayers, but that's not what we're speaking of tonight. That's not what Nehemiah means. We have reason to believe that there was certainly nothing audible. His prayer was a secret prayer, though he was in the presence of the king and no doubt other people with him. So I prayed to the God of heaven. He was prompted by the Holy Spirit. The Lord was in him. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, all our prayer and all our praise rightly offered in his name. He that dictates them is Jesus. He that hears them is the same. So I prayed. What a mercy. I tell you this, my dear friend, tonight. There won't be any praying people in hell. There won't be anyone who has prayed unto God in the name of his Son in hell. That's not my word, it's the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And I tell you something else from the Word of God. There won't be anyone in heaven, but who is there in answer to prayer. The hymn says, doesn't he? Prayer is the ladder Jacob saw. And what was that ladder? It was the way to heaven. A praying sinner starts at the bottom. And he doesn't climb his way up in his own strength. He asks the Lord to help him to put his foot on the next rung. Friend, come up higher. The Lord Jesus taught that when anyone goes to a feast, they must go into the lowest room. And wait for the promotion of the Lord, the master of the feast. So I prayed to the God of heaven. What is prayer? It is the expression of desire and asking for what our heart desires, and asking of God I may have told you before, I didn't see it myself, but an old deacon down in Wiltshire years ago, it was when I was first sent out, he spoke of a prayer meeting and a man stood up and he said this and he said that and he said the other in prayer. And he went on and on and on, telling the Lord this and telling him that. And in the end, a woman behind him couldn't remain silent any longer. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that what she did was right, but I believe anyone who has any discernment of the ways of God and the fear of God and the needs of sinners would not be surprised. She just said to him, "Ask for something, man." That's what prayer is. Asking God. He doesn't need us to tell him things. He says, "Ask and it shall be given thee." So I prayed. That's what prayer is. How is it? How is prayer made? The Word of God tells us sometimes prayer is a sigh. The Lord says for that very sigh, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, "Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." Sometimes it is a groan. In that psalm, that well-known psalm that contains those beautiful words, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer," the psalm goes on to say, "He hath looked down from heaven, from the height of his sanctuary hath he looked upon the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner." You see, the Lord interprets his own Spirit's work in a sinner's heart. The Spirit searcheth the things of God, the deep things of God. And he searcheth as to whether the desire is real or not. And where that desire is real, he can discern it, even in an unexpressed petition. That groan that asks the Lord for mercy. That sigh that is a confession of my sin. You know, I believe we can confess our sin with a sigh. Do you know what it is to, in the midst of your day, or perhaps it's when you're awake in the night, and a sense of your guilt comes over you and it finds expression in a sigh. And it's not only a confession of your sin, it's a plea with the God against whom that sin is committed, that he would forgive it. And then overcome the power of that sin. Do you know what it is? To find yourself failing and failing and failing miserably. And you sigh. And the expression is, "Oh, that sin would not have such dominion over me." But then sometimes the Lord does give his people utterance. Silent, that is, there are those words to God in our heart, those petitions expressed in words. And then, of course, audibly. It isn't family worship that our text is speaking on, but as we are on the subject of prayer, I would again set forth before you from the Word of God what a blessing it is when there is family worship in a home. when there is where there is prayer, where there is a reading of the Word of God and prayer. A marriage cannot be what it should be in the sight and the mind of Almighty God, except that man, that husband and that wife pray together. And there are many blessings, children, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters have been granted where this God-honoring privilege, and that's what it is. It's only our sinfulness that makes prayer a duty. The hymn writer says, doesn't he? Let not worship prove a task. Prayer a burden. So I prayed to the God of heaven. But then we must notice who Nehemiah prayed to. I may as well kneel down and worship gods of stone as offer to the one true God a prayer of words alone. It was the God of heaven he prayed to. That is the one true and living God. The one true and living God is the God of heaven. He says, doesn't he? Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. He that dwelleth in the high and holy place, which no man can approach unto, which no man has seen, he also dwells in the heart of his people. And if God dwells in your heart, you will pray to him in heaven. He is prompting you to do it. But there are one or two things I would seek to set before you and before myself with regard to this God of heaven, which is so precious and so needful to consider. And the Lord search our hearts as to whether we have ever prayed to the God of heaven and whether we are now praying to the God of heaven. The eternal God, without beginning, without end. Moses, by the Spirit, spoke those words, didn't he, to the children of Israel. The eternal God is thy refuge. The God of heaven is thy refuge. The one who created all things out of nothing. The one who sustains all things by the word of his grace. The one who hangs the world upon nothing. The one who sits on no precarious throne, nor borrows leave to be. The eternal I am before the day was. He said, I am he, the God of heaven. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he said, didn't he, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Then there is this truth. Nehemiah stood before this king. He was the king's cupbearer. But Nehemiah's faith was in the God of heaven. The one who made me, and the one who made that king Artaxerxes, and the one who made all these people around me now, and the one who is in control of all these people, and the one who is in control of me. The one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I pray to the God of heaven. You know, if we pray more often to the God of heaven, we would have more answers. That is, if we really were given faith to believe that he is the God of heaven. How often, well, I confess it myself, I have to leave the matter with you and the Lord as to where you are and what you are prone to or not. Limiting the Holy One of Israel. Oh, if we were asked, we would say, no, there's no limit. But what happens, my dear friend, when we're in trouble? What happens when we're a guilty, needy sinner? What happens when something goes wrong in our life? What happens when there is something tremendous, something impossible for us? What do we think? Left to ourselves, we think it's also impossible with God. But with the God of heaven, there is nothing impossible. And there's this thought as well, my dear friend. The God of heaven, he does not think like men think. He does not work like men work. His principle is divine. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. My dear friend, if his thoughts were like ours, he couldn't save us. If his ways were like ours, we couldn't be saved. So I pray to the God of heaven. The God of heaven who needs nothing. He says so himself. All things, he says, are mine. I have not required of you an offering. The God of heaven has provided in his dear Son an offering. I have not required of you obedience. This is under the gospel. For I have required it of my own dear Son. I have not required of you love under the gospel. 'Tis my love I give to you. And I certainly require not of you wisdom. That I have treasured up in the person of my dear Son, who is wisdom. Now, my dear friend, in the light of these things, and there's much more that could have been said. In the light of these things, let us ask ourselves the question, do we pray to the God of heaven? So I pray to the God of heaven. That God who is love, that God who is just and holy, righteous, pure, wise, that God who is gracious and merciful. Grace is a heavenly thing, my dear friend. Love is a heavenly thing. Everything that is good is a heavenly thing. So I prayed to the God of heaven. I asked the God of heaven. And every prayer to the God of heaven is in the name of the God of heaven. Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, in our nature, in heaven, he said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But perhaps someone says, well, in Nehemiah's day, the Son of God had not taken our nature. No, he hadn't. But before time began, he had covenanted to do it. Remember, he is said to be the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Before all worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. If Jesus Christ be not the God of heaven, my dear friend, it were no use to call upon him. In his prayer, that is the prayer that he taught the disciples, He taught them to say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven that he might be granted a little bit of heaven here on this earth. You see, that's what you get, child of God, when you get an answer from the God of heaven. God lets down a little bit of heaven in answer to the prayers of his people. And to pray to the God of heaven means you must be at the end of the earth. When you're at the end of the earth, where do you look? Psalm 107, they come to their wit's end. As Mr. Jupp used to say at Black Boys, wit's end corner, that's where Jesus Christ lives. So I pray to the God of heaven. This king has answered him a question, has asked him a question. The question is, for what dost thou make request? And Nehemiah doesn't know how to answer him. The question put him on the spot. How many times, my dear friend, have you been put on the spot by a question, and the Holy Spirit has enabled you on that spot not to answer in your own strength, but pray unto the God of heaven? Why did you pray unto the God of heaven? Because there wasn't an answer below heaven. I don't have an answer. The king doesn't have an answer. The whole world doesn't have an answer. My dear friend, your lost state before God this evening, and that's the principal thing the Lord teaches his people to pray to the God of heaven concerning. You don't have an answer to it. You thought you did one day, and perhaps there are those here this evening and you think you got an answer. Let me ask you a searching question before God. How many answers have you had from God? And how many questions have you answered yourself? 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Did you ever get an answer from God to that question? You know, we go round and round in circles, don't we, and try to answer it. We try to look for evidences. We may even ask someone else, explain our feelings and our exercises, and say, "Do you think this is real? How do they know? How do they know?" They can't look inside you. They don't have privy to look into that blessed Lamb's Book of Life. John wept because there was no man found worthy to loose the seals. And then the elder said to him, "Weep not, John. The Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." So I prayed to the God of heaven, the searcher of hearts, the one who knows everything, the one who knows those that are here, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, am I speaking to one this evening, and that's what you want to know? Well, keep asking. Keep asking the God of heaven. If you've already begun to ask, you may say, "He doesn't answer me." Well, if that goes on too long, we have need to pray, Lord, search me. Am I asking right? Am I really praying to the God of heaven? James says, doesn't he, in his epistle, ye ask and have not, because ye ask amiss, ye may consume it on your lusts. But you see, you don't ask amiss. If you ask with the purpose of the salvation of your soul, you know, there have been those that have been troubled because, of course, the overriding purpose of God in the answer to prayer is his own glory. And sometimes a lost sinner, a guilty sinner, can't see that they are asking to the glory of God. They say, I'm a lost sinner, I'm a guilty sinner, I'm a hell-deserving sinner, and I'm asking that I might be saved. I don't know whether I'm asking for the glory of God. Well, if your prayer is to be saved, there will be nothing more to the glory of God than if he answers, and he will answer, that prayer. It is to the glory of God. So I prayed to the God of heaven. The God of heaven. That way of approach he has made to the God of heaven. It was set forth in type in the Old Testament, wasn't it? There's only ever one way to the God of heaven. It's prayer in the name of the Lord. We have it actually set forth, don't we, somewhere in the book of Genesis. I couldn't tell you the chapter this evening, but it's in that book of Genesis. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, didn't he? Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus said, and he said it, of course, to bring forth from his disciples their confession of their ignorance. He said, ye know whither I go and the way ye know. And Thomas said, how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, we can be sure that this prayer of Nehemiah to the God of heaven came to the God of heaven in and through the person of his Son, the mediator. That daysman Job, in the depths of his trial, couldn't see. He said, oh, that there were a daysman betwixt us, one who could put his hand upon us both. Well, there was. He was set up from everlasting. The Old Testament is full, isn't it, of truths regarding this way to God. Right from the time that man fell, the prayer to the God of heaven attends to what the God of heaven has said about praying to him. The God of heaven came down into the sin-cursed Garden of Eden and taught Adam and Eve how to pray. You say, there's nothing in there about him teaching them to pray. Oh, there is. The promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. This is what Nehemiah is grappling with. Why is the city of his father's sepulchres? Why is it lying in ruins? Why are the people there in affliction? What had the Lord said in the Garden of Eden? Have you found it so today, my dear friend? It's only the Lord's people who find it so. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. Why? What Satan did, tempting man into sin. But the way of salvation of the God of heaven is not a fig leaf righteousness. It's not Adam standing up and conquering the devil, it's the second Adam. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. I pray to the God of heaven in the name of the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. But then something else. Instead of a fig leaf apron, instead of the work of man, God made coats of skins, slain beasts, bloodshed. Righteousness wrought out, a garment. Of all the creatures God has made, there is but man alone who stands in need to be arrayed in garments not his own. I pray to the God of heaven. As a sinner, we know from this first chapter that this burden of his own sin and the sin of his people lay with weight upon him. You say, oh, I don't know tonight. I don't know whether I know my sin rightly. Well, it was the God of heaven that made Nehemiah know his sin. The God of heaven says his spirit will convince of sin. You say, well, then I don't know whether I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit is said not to only convince of sin, but to convince of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Not man's. Jesus' righteousness. And of judgment. Not man's judgment, but the judgment of Jesus Christ. Jesus is judge of quick and dead, and there is none beside him. Now, as he is judge of quick and dead, my dear friend, he's the judge concerning everything in your life. He's the judge concerning what happens. He's the judge concerning what men do. He's the judge concerning all things, the steps you take, the way you go. But what a merciful judge. I, a sinner, pray to the God of heaven, because the God of heaven says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth. Are you really tonight wanting to know the Lord's will? Oh, we need to know it. First and foremostly, what is his will concerning me? Where shall I spend eternity? You are not the judge of that question. You may have in your heart the sentence of death, but the God of heaven, has caused the sentence of death that belonged to his people to pass to his Son. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But he must make that plain. So I pray to the God of heaven. You see, the God of heaven can only receive one thing. You might try to bring all manner of things to the God of heaven, and he'll refuse them. If you bring prayers to the God of heaven in your own name, that is, according to yourself, according to your works, according to something about you, God will refuse them. The God of heaven can only receive one thing, the prayer of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. None of them who do this work and that work, but the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's what Nehemiah was doing. Diligently seeking him. You see, in the end of the previous chapter, we read Nehemiah's prayer. And it was in answer to that prayer that these events in chapter 2 happened. He was given mercy in the sight of this man. Now perhaps there are those here this evening, and there is some man in your life. God has put him there. And God has put you where you are. And there is you and this man. He may be a child, their teacher at school, their headmaster perhaps. It may be a child and another child at school. What a blessing if concerning that man, that boy, that girl, you and I are caused to pray to the God of heaven. If that one is opposing you, to pray to the God of heaven. Who is in control of that one? You remember Daniel, cast into the den of lions. Why? Because he prayed to the God of heaven. And you remember the question the king put to him. When he got up early in the morning, not having a moment's sleep all night. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lions? O king, live forever. He desired the eternal life of King Darius. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. Daniel prayed those lion's mouths shut. What a night that must have been. He had the angel of the Lord with him. My God has sent his angel. Not a created angel. We believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the uncreated angel. That is the messenger from heaven. The messenger the Father sent, even into that lion's den. The shield. Jesus Christ, the shield. There's no other shield from the lion's mouths. Perhaps there's something in business. Tonight. And someone will not cooperate. Someone is not willing to do that which is right. Someone is not willing to do something that it is your desire they should do. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Perhaps you have tried all manner of ways of persuading that one. Perhaps you haven't prayed to the God of heaven. The Lord help you and me to begin now. See, sheep of man whose breath is in his nostrils. The Lord God of heaven, he has everyone in his control. He turneth kings whithersoever he will. The rivers of water. So I pray to the God of heaven. Perhaps it is a decision tonight. And it was really a decision, wasn't it, with Nehemiah? What am I to say? It was a decision. But perhaps tonight it is the sort of decision you have to make as to whether you go in this direction or that direction, or whether you stand still. So I pray to the God of heaven. I verily believe, my dear friend, if we are enabled truly to pray to the God of heaven for direction, and are enabled in that prayer to leave the matter entirely in his hands, he will show us in one way or another what is his will. Now, Nehemiah was in the will of God. You know, the path in the will of God is the path of prayer. Perhaps there's one here tonight and you believe the Lord has put you in the position you're in. And that's why he's put this mountain in front of you. Because he's going to be glorified. You see, whatever path the Lord leads his people in, it's for his glory. And would he be glorified if you could walk that path out without continually praying to him? No, he wouldn't. You know what you'd be like. You know what you are like when you think you're getting on in that way. And sometimes the Lord allows his people, like he did David down in the land of the Philistines. He made a road this way and that way and the other way. He'd even got a city given him, Ziklag. And then the Lord comes and blasts it all. Because David hadn't prayed about anything he'd done. He didn't pray for direction to go down into the land of the Philistine, because we can be sure the Lord would never have given him that direction. But the Lord, David was bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord, as dear Abigail said to him. And that is why Ziklag burns with fire, to bring him back to the throne of grace. You know, if there is one thing that is a cause of the sickly state inside, it is this: neglect of what Nehemiah, by grace, was doing here. So I prayed to the God of heaven. And he got an answer, didn't he? As we have been saying tonight, everyone that asketh, receiveth. You say, well, I haven't. One reason why you haven't, child of God, must be because you don't yet need it. God will never keep his people waiting for an answer when they really need it. when a minister in the middle hymn is pleading with his God, the God of heaven, and sometimes he's not even clear about the text, but if he is, he knows he can't preach from that text with any gracious effect unless the Lord help him. And he prays, Lord, give me every word to speak. Let thy spirit be upon me. Help me to speak faithfully. Will God make that man wait for the answer to that prayer? No. Because if God doesn't help that man, as he begins to preach or as he goes on to preach, if he comes to the end of the sermon without the Lord's help, it's too late. With regard to that sermon, the time has gone. And it might be the last sermon that minister preaches. It might be the last sermon someone in the congregation hears. This sermon tonight, my dear friend, might be the last one. But if the Holy Spirit bless it, and you go home and pray to the God of heaven, I shall not have come to Swavesey in vain, but it won't be me coming. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And sometimes the Lord's servants have to wait years for the signs following. But where the Lord has wrought with his servants, there will be signs following. I verily believe the Lord's servants have it hidden from them for wise purposes. It'll be revealed in heaven. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. As I come to a close, I just take the words slightly out of context. In light of what the Lord himself said to Solomon that night in that vision when he was just made king. And Solomon felt to be like a little child. He knew not how to go in, go out, or come in before so great a people. And the Lord said to him, ask what I should give thee. For what dost thou make request? I pray to the God of heaven. He can give you heaven because he is the God of heaven. Would you have heaven? It isn't just to be delivered from hell, is it? You can't be delivered from hell but by being given heaven. The Lord makes the experience of self and the experience of Satan and the experience of all the woes, the trials, the afflictions, the thorns and the thistles of this world to be in hell, really, to the Lord's people. That truth above that hymn you just sung, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, could it be that such a one as I should be granted heaven? To be one with thee, the God of heaven. You see, that's what this prayer is. It's the way God's appointed. And it's so beautifully simple, isn't it? When I say simple, I'm not saying it's easy believism. It is the almighty power of God that can do it. It was the almighty power of God that made this man pray. And it was the almighty power of God that gave him the answer. The God of heaven. Sometimes in the word with regard to these things that the Lord will have us ask him for, The Lord Jesus contrasts what he says with what men say. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he spoke the words of the God of heaven because he is that God, one with his Father and with the Spirit. You know, think of that word in the Old Testament. They say, if a woman depart from her husband and go after another, will he have him back again? Will he have her back again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? Yes, it is greatly polluted. Yet, return unto me. You say, how shall I return? As the Lord enables you, prayer is the way of return. If you've grown cold, you're like that adulterous woman the Lord speaks of. Will he have her back again? The God of heaven says he will, though men will not. I pray to the God of heaven. He has love greater than any love of this earth. He has compassion greater than any compassion among men. He has pity. That parable of the Samaritan, Jesus said, who was neighbor? And who did the person who was neighbor to him that fell among thieves, who did that person, that Samaritan, set forth? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the God of heaven in our nature. His neighbor. To become our neighbor, he took our nature and took our sin, took our law place, took our death, took the wrath of God on our behalf. Who then is neighbor to him that fell among thieves? Jesus Christ, I pray to the God of heaven. The men of this earth are like that priest and that Levite. They go over and look at the poor man. They pass by on the other side. Why? His case is too bad. His case is too bad for the men of this world. It needs the God of heaven. Sinner tonight, are you? In your desires, are you in your petitions, are you in your thoughts, are you in your consideration of what salvation is, looking too low? You're looking too low, you're thinking too low. Ask the Lord to give you that outlook. Mr. John Raven said the outlook is bleak, and it is. Whether you look at yourself, if we look in our families, if we look in the congregations, if we look across the world, the outlook is bleak. Where is there in this world any help? Where is there in this world any blood that can cleanse? Where is there in this world an answer to man's woes? Where is there in this world an answer to that question in the book of Job? How then shall man be just with God? The God of heaven will make him so. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God, the God of heaven, that justifies. He justifies freely by the grace of heaven. I will open the windows of heaven, he says, and pour out a blessing upon you that shall not be room enough to receive it. John said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, a lamb as it had been slain. He also says he saw from under the throne that blessed river of water, clear as crystal. And you know, my dear friend, it's that same water as clear as crystal that saves sinners from their sins. And it's that same water, as clear as crystal, the grace, the sovereign grace, the mercy, the goodness of God, that does provide us with the least thing we need. What a sweet crumb is that, that is obtained feelingly by faith from the God of heaven. You say, then why are all these difficulties in this path? Because that's what the Lord is pleased to deal with. And when he deals with it, that's how you get drops of this blessed crystal clear water. I think of Suki Harley. She said, oh, blessed tears that my God makes me shed, the sorrows, the pains, blessed tears. Why so blessed? The Lord gives me them so that he can come and wipe them away. Blessed troubles. The Lord gives you so he can come and deliver you from them. Blessed enemies, that the Lord can come and give you the victory over. Don't you have a few of those things to look back to tonight? And don't you have a few of those things you're in the midst of now? I think of the words of Paul. He says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Can you say you've attained anything from the God of heaven? Tiptoft used to say, don't despise that man's religion who gets answers from heaven. The God of heaven speaks answers. He works answers. He, by his gracious revelation, above all else, is the answer. The God of heaven is the answer. Whatever it is in your life tonight. He has all nature in his hand, that gracious hand on which I live, and he has heaven to give. So I pray to the God of heaven, that same God, even now, sits on that same mercy seat. There Jesus sits with smiling face and waits to answer prayer. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Roland Wheatley will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Our closing hymn is 144, 144. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see. And I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Hymn 144.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank thee for the word. We trust prayer answered even this evening. Oh, help us to pray on. The blessing might increase. The sinners might go home and pray unto the God of heaven. And those that have may carry on. Pray without ceasing. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak. Pray with faith in Jesus' name. Keep us each safe. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God and the communion, the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forever. Amen.